Take your Bibles and open them to Deuteronomy chapter 29 tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate you coming out on this cold, rainy night. I'm glad it's not ice. Amen. Glad it's not ice. Praise the Lord. It's always a privilege to, an honor to fill the pulpit for Pastor Angel. Glad to be a help. And that's what I want to do and moved here, just be a help and be a blessing. You all are such a blessing to us. I want to thank you again for praying for us. Many of you come up and say, praying for you, where you at, so forth. And we travel most weekends and try to anyway. We have started this spare tire ministry. I call it spare tire ministry, helping out churches until they can find a pastor. Started in August of 2020. And praise the Lord, to God's glory, there's three churches now that have a full-time pastor. And actually, fourth church, Salt Village Baptist Church, just called a pastor. They've been without a pastor for a long time. Just called a pastor just a couple weeks ago. And we were helping a little bit with that church. So that was a blessing. Amen. And four churches have a pastor now. You say, well, that's pretty good, four churches in 2 years. If I keep that up, I could finish the 29 that are still left in 15 years. I got a list of 29 churches have no pastor. Independent Baptist churches. That's just the list that I have, and there's others. And so we need men to be called. Amen. We need men to step forward. That's not the message tonight, but I want to thank everyone for praying for us. Next Sunday, we're working with a church in Warsaw, Indiana, Open Bible Baptist Church. The pastor resigned on the last Sunday of October, and I was supposed to be there the first Sunday of November. But he didn't confirm that with me, and I didn't get a text from him, and I didn't confirm it with him, and I should have. And so we blame each other, but I'm sitting there at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30, in my living room, ready to come to church here, or getting ready to just finish prayer time, getting ready to come here. And he calls me, he said, did you get the motel okay? And I said, sure. I said, he said, did you? And I said, no. I said, I'm in my living room. He said, Brother Bragg, you're supposed to be at church. You're preaching at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. He says, how far are you? And I said, well, I'm 3 hours and I lose an hour. And he said, man, what are we going to do? So I called some preachers I know in Indiana. And there's a fellow that not far from there filled in for us on Sunday morning. First time I've ever done that. And I got there Sunday night and preached Sunday night, the first Sunday in November. I texted the preacher and I thought I'd get some sympathy. I said, man, I can't believe I did this. And I told him what I did. He said, wow. He said, I'm not the only one that's ever done that then. I said, I thought I'd get some sympathy. He said, no way, man, no way. But that church will be there this Sunday. They already have a man that's going to candidate. And so I think they'll have a pastor soon. And I don't think I'll be there long. But I really enjoy what we're doing. I go in and preach, and I'm only there for Sunday. Preach Sunday morning. Sunday. They can't get mad at me. Who are they going to, who do they have next? I mean, I don't get involved in choosing the pastor. That's not my business. I recommend them. I can recommend them. But anyway, I want to just say thank you. I really do appreciate your prayers very, very much. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse number 1. And would you stand, please, in reading God's word? We'll read verse number 1, and then we'll jump down to verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse number 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now verse 18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. I'll give you the title at the end of the message, and the introduction will be a lengthy one, so please stay with me. Father, I pray now that you'd bless the reading of your word this evening. Thank you for it. You know that I've talked with you about this a lot this year. Help me, I pray, to formulate my thoughts and words and stick to my notes, I pray. I'll thank you for it. And then, Lord, please speak to our hearts, I pray. I'm glad there's a lot of young people here tonight. Please speak to our hearts, we pray. I pray we'd see another generation that would serve you with all their heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction, let me give you a real brief rundown of the books of Moses. Genesis, very easy. Divide Genesis in two ways. History of the human race and the history of the Hebrew race. That's a pretty easy division of Genesis. Exodus, it's the moving out of Egypt and Moses receiving the law. Pretty much what happens in the book of Exodus. However, Exodus is the book where they establish the Passover. Very important in Exodus chapter 12. And then in the book of Leviticus, we have the Levitical law. It's much of the priesthood and so forth is given in Leviticus. And then you have Numbers. And I like to divide Numbers in two ways. Positive numbers and negative numbers. Positive numbers up until you get to Numbers 14, when they turn back and would not go into the promised land. You remember the song, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. So we have positive numbers up to that point, and then you have negative numbers. For the next 40 years, they wander in the wilderness. Next 22 chapters, that's all they do is wander in the wilderness. So that's the breakdown of the first four books of Moses. Now we come to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is an interesting book. Deuteronomy is a rehearsal to the Hebrews of the record of the law of God that God gave to them back on Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. Yes, the Ten Commandments were given, and it's repeated in Deuteronomy. They're given in Exodus chapter 20, but they're also repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 8. In this particular book, they also are given, the dietary law is given in this book. And some of the other laws. It says an added covenant, kind of like our Constitution and then the bylaws to the Constitution. And so this book is rehearsal of the law. By the way, this was not given at Mount Horeb. It was given in Moab, which is on the east side of Jordan, right before they go into Jericho. Now, the Lord uses the word Sinai and Horeb interchangeably. This sometimes throws people because it says this is what was given at Mount Horeb. And Horeb and Sinai are used interchangeably. In the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, God uses the word Sinai. But in the book of Deuteronomy, he uses the word Horeb. The word Horeb means desolate, a desolate place. He uses the same word, Horeb, in 1 Kings 8:9 and Malachi 4:4. It is an interesting study to do on the geography of the Bible. The name of Jerusalem is used, many different names for Jerusalem is used in the Old Testament. And so here they are. Moses is going to rehearse with them what he received on Mount Horeb, and he's going to add some things to it about the dietary law. We gain a little bit more understanding of the word Deuteronomy as we see the word, what it means. The word Deuteronomy means second law. It's two Greek words meaning second law. It means the law is given the second time. Doesn't mean there's two laws. It means the law is going to be given the second time. There are two sets of laws. It's one law set that's given and rehearsed twice. They never forgot the law. And the reason why they didn't forget the law is because the law is our teacher, our schoolmaster. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says this, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We have a group of people in this country that doesn't want to even acknowledge the Old Testament. That's for the Jews. No. That's for us as well. Not the application of the place and so forth. The interpretation of the places and so forth. But the application sure is for us today. And so we still have people today that say, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm not bad enough to go to hell. Can I tell you, everyone in this room, we deserve hell. That's what we deserve. In fact, Congress just passed a law that by all demands has said we can't preach or we must preach their new law or it is a crime. You know, the Air Force right now will not let people say mom, dad, and any kind of gender. We have lost our minds. And I still go back to the point that we have abandoned the law, the moral law of God. We've abandoned that. And therefore, we don't think we're sinners. We're not bad enough. My wife and I have had a habit started several years ago. We go to a restaurant and we'll sit down to eat. And before we eat, the waitress or the server will take our order. And we ask them, we're getting ready to pray for our meal. Is there anything we could pray with you about? And you'd be amazed at how many people say, no, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm fine. There's no thought of God. They don't need God. It's like the church at Laodicea, as the preacher was preaching about. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's how the attitude is. It is refreshing that as we were over in Warsaw last weekend, I think it was weekend before, with Brother Dan Martin. He's had a standing invitation to preach there every first Sunday of every December for years, and he kept that invitation. My wife and I were in attended a wedding on Saturday before, on the 3rd, and so we drove through, and we assisted in the service. They don't have a song leader, so the preacher, whoever's the preacher, he leads the singing. So I led the singing for Brother Martin, and we stopped and had dinner after church and with the Martins, and we asked this lady, is there anything we could pray with you about? And what big tears came to her eyes, and she said, I have some real serious marital problems. And not that it was a blessing to see that, but it is good to see that people know they need God. Because we do need God. So God instructs Moses to rehearse with Israel the history from Sinai to Moab, where they're at this time. They're not at Sinai, they're at Moab, which is on the east, where Jordan, the country of Jordan, is today. Not only does he rehearse with the group, the law, but can I tell you, this group is a young group. There's nobody over 59 years old except Caleb and Joshua. Because in Numbers chapter 29, I think 14:29, it says that everybody over 20 is going to die in the wilderness. So if you're 19... and you travel in the wilderness 40 years, how old are you? 59. Can I tell you, Brother Todd, there wasn't a Jubilee class. This is a pretty young congregation. So he's preaching to the next generation, by the way. He's preaching this to the next generation. And so I'm glad to see the young people here tonight. Because we need another generation of independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preachers and people. Amen. Or we won't be around much longer. I tell you, Brother Gellis preached the message. I can't even remember his text, but I do remember the illustration that he gave about the three churches. One in Pontiac, Michigan. One in Akron, Ohio. One in Chattanooga. The pastor that married my wife and I got saved at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. I served under a man who got saved at Akron Baptist Temple in 1959. And then who hasn't heard of Tennessee Temple and the Great Highland Park Baptist Church? Can I tell you, folks, that shook me. And I read this scripture some months ago. In fact, I read it probably back in April or May. And this scripture, I'm getting to it in just a moment. Let me give you one other point to the introduction, and then we'll get to the verses that we read. God does something interesting in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. And in fact, my wife's in the nursery tonight. I don't know what that says about her or me. I'm not sure, but she's in the nursery tonight. She says, you can't preach this message in 35 minutes. I said, I will. But in chapter 20, I'd like to go through this. In chapter 27, 28, Moses tells God to do something funny, just different. that God doesn't give a different law, but he's not opposed to a new way of giving it. Just like Brother Netterville, giving out the Bibles by going to the parking lots and putting up a sign. Well, we had never thought of that before COVID, but man, that's a great... He's so busy doing that now that and people are getting the Word of God, which is what they need. But God's going to give this next generation an interesting activity. He says, when you go across Jordan, I want you to find Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And I want you to do something. I want you to split up the tribes. I want you to take six tribes and set them over against Mount Ebal. And I want you to take the other six tribes and set them over against Mount Gerizim. And I want you to have the Levites read on one side Mount Ebal. I want you to read the curses that are written in this law. And when they read the curse, I want the people to say, amen, so be it. And I want the Levites to read the blessings to the other six. And when they hear the blessings, I want them to say, amen, so be it. You say, why did God do that? He wants everybody to know the Word of God. Can I tell you, this book is the most amazing book. We take this for granted. I hope you're reading it daily. We have to have the book. And by the way, I remember what Dr. House used to say. He used to say, every generation needs to reestablish the Word of God and the standards of the Word of God. And we do, and that's what he's doing. Back on Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb, there's fire came from heaven and God showed up and met Moses. And Moses came off the mountain and his face glowed and he had to put a covering over his face. So it was a happening. He's going to do this, not the same thing. He's going to do something different. But he's going to let this next generation know, hey, you better listen to the curses of this book and to the blessings of this book. Now, let's look at verse number 18. Verse 18 says this, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart. And shall say, I have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. God said to them, can I tell you what may happen? He said, some of you may say, I don't believe that these curses are going to happen to me. I don't believe that. And I'm going to bless myself in my heart. And I'm going to walk in the imagination of my heart. Can I tell you, that to me is a picture of the generation we're living in today. How many of you have ever seen this? And if you have one, I'm not criticizing you, okay? But how many of you have ever seen these shirts that say, I'm blessed? Or blessing? Or you know, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I see that, and I see a guy with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other walking around with a shirt that says, I'm blessed. I want to say, hey, pal, you got the wrong shirt on. Because according to this scripture, if you say, I don't believe those curses, and I will still be blessed, you won't be blessed. And I see that. Here's how it goes. I'm going to use the New King James, and I'm going to use the NIV, and I'm going to throw that old King James Bible off, and that was for the last generation. That's not for me, and I'm still going to be blessed. Can I tell you, God has used this book right here. You better not depart from it. This is the book. I'm going to use the new music of the progressive Christian movement, but I'm still going to be blessed. I'm sorry. Curses are coming, folks. Can I tell you, the influence of Christianity in the United States has dwindled, not excelled. Case in point, the Congress just passed the hideous Marriage Act. It's the Unholy Marriage Act. I'm going to watch what I want to watch. I'm going to watch what I want to watch, and I'll still be blessed. Sorry. Doesn't happen that way. You can't do what you want to do and God bless you. I remember a preacher making a statement, wrote in my Bible, you are never more like the devil than when you say, I will do what I want to do. That's paraphrased. But when we want to say, I'll do my will, that God says, I want you to hear this well. I want all the tribes, six tribes on this side of Mount Ebal, and I want the other tribes of Mount Gerizim. And I want the Levites to holler out what the curses are. And I want them to holler out what the blessings are. And I want you to say amen. Amen. Because you understand what the Word of God says. It kind of goes like this. I'm going to just let my lifestyle be a witness. And I'm still going to be blessed. I'm going to dress the way I want to dress. Accept the lifestyle of the world. But I'm still going to be blessed. I'm too stressed to be blessed. I'm going to think and say what I want to. Brother Martin made a statement when he was preaching about the peace of God and our mind staying on the Word of God. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. He made this statement. I never thought about this before. He said, meditation is probably the second most activity we do in our life next to breathing. Because our minds are constantly going. Even as we sleep, we have a subconscious. Wow. It's a good thought. I'm going to think what I... Preacher preached tremendous messages Sunday. Tremendous messages. The one about Zacharias. He was faithful to God. He was faithful to his wife. He was faithful to his duties. I said, you can preach that every Sunday. And that's what we need today. We need faithfulness to the Word of God. You can't say, I'm going to be blessed and live like the devil and be blessed. It's not going to work, friend. It won't work. When I see a fella like that, I think to myself, son, you got the wrong shirt on. In fact, I even thought about going down to the silk screen place and getting a T-shirt that says blessed and on the other side says cursed. So which side are you going to wear? How about this one? Here's how it goes. I'm going to believe whatever I want to believe, and God is still going to take me to heaven when I die. Can I tell you, there was a survey done in 2019. I've referred to it many times. 61% of so-called born-again believers, I didn't say Bible believers, say born-again believers, say that there may be more than one way to heaven. Can I tell you, friend, there is not more than one way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. And if you think you're going to stand on the cursed side and say, I'm going to heaven, I don't care what you say, you're not going to say that to God. He's not going to give His Son a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and let you go in the way you want. It ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It's such an encouragement to me to see and to hear Brother Andrew Reardon preach in his 20s. Well, that's exciting to me. See you young people. I'm telling you, my wife and I visit a lot of churches. I don't see this. There's all kinds of kids here. We go to churches where we're some of the youngest people there. I love it here. I love it. The choir and the activities. Can I tell you, young people, don't let that go from your heart. Don't let that go from your heart. Don't just do it on the outside. Have it on the inside. It's such encouragement for me to hear Brother Alan Miller preach in his 30s. Amen. He preached a message and he talked about growth. And what a great message. Just exciting to hear that and to see that. Brother Luke leading the choir and leading the music. I could go on and on. I could talk about that guy, Michael Bragg, who's just barely 40. I know a lot of people think I'm his older brother because I look so young. But I'm not. I'm his dad. But what's encouraging is there's hope, there's life. Because we have the blessings of God here. But let's not take it for granted. Let's not stand and hear the curses and say, oh, that could never happen to me. and wear the shirt that says blessed, but in our hearts, we're going to act like the devil and live like the devil. It won't work. God will add the curses to our lives if we're not careful. Brother Bragg, what's the problem? Well, let's look back at chapter 29 and verse number 16. It says, "For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we have passed through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them." Then he says, "Lest there should be among you, man or woman or family, or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations." First of all, he deals with worldliness. Worldliness. We see what happens on the outside, and we think we need to be like them. Can I tell you, we don't need to be like them. The church doesn't need to be worldly. That's why we're the church. We're the church of Jesus Christ, not the church of the world. Amen. Worldliness. We want to be like the others. Look at chapter 29 and verse number 4. Yet the Lord hath not, verse 5, I'm sorry. "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness." See, these folks were in their teens and younger when they started this journey. 40 years now. And here's what God said. "I've led you 40 years in this wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoes are not waxing old upon thy feet. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord thy God." He said, "Look, I blessed you. I took care of you. You picked up manna and you ate quail. And the Bible says that their shoes and their clothes didn't. They never had to go to Walmart. They never had to get a new pair of shoes. And their feet didn't swell. God blessed them." Oh, but it wasn't the same thing as the world. Watch out. Oh, but have you seen what the world... Watch out. Watch out. Yeah, but I'm telling you, it isn't... Yeah. Watch out. Watch out. We're supposed to be different. God, and by the way, God provided. All they had to do is go pick up their bread every morning, and get their quail. They hadn't quail so much that they came out of their ears. The Bible said out of their nose, I think it was. I mean, they had bread and meat and water. Oh, you know, I like that other stuff. Watch out. There's nothing wrong with having things. Nothing wrong with that. But when we here's what I say. Sometimes we fall in love with the blessings of God more than the God of the blessings. What was so important about them being in the wilderness? They were in the presence of God. No other nation was in the presence of God like Israel. Sure, they didn't have the same thing that the Amorites had, the folks in that area. They didn't. They didn't need it. They had the presence and the power and provision of God. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. And so worldliness. The other thing was, and the second thing was drunkenness. Look at what it says here in verse number 19, the end of it. "And it come to pass when he heareth the words of the curse of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst." I'm astounded at the Christians who think drinking with moderation, I'm talking about alcohol now, wine or otherwise, they think it's okay as long as you don't get drunk. Can I tell you, the Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You're foolish. They added drunkenness to that. You don't need that. I'm out of time. My wife was right. I hate it when she's right. The third thing was this. They had bitterness. Look at what it says in verse 18. "Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood." Gall and wormwood are bitter. And what I see in this next generation is this. I see a bitterness that they didn't. They have to follow what their parents said. Can I tell you, friend, it's not what your parents said. It's what God said. And I'm going to tell you again, you cannot put a sign on your chest and say you're blessed and live like the devil and let God bless you. It ain't going to happen. I got to close because time. What's their problem? The problem is a heart problem. They had here's the title of the message. They had a twisted heart. They had a twisted heart. When I pastored in St. Louis, we had a young lady. We had a couple that had a child, and the child seemed to be healthy, a little girl. Brought her from the hospital, and she started turning blue and was having problems. And they would take her to the doctor, and the doctor rushed her. They'd rushed her to the hospital, and they found out that her aortas, and this is the strangest thing I've ever heard, but her aortas were backwards. The intake valve was going out, and the exit valve was going in. So there wasn't enough blood going through the heart to get oxygen to the girl. And they called that a twisted heart. They kept that girl alive for 6 months. At 6 months, she had open heart surgery. And for the first time in history, Children's Hospital did a complete plumbing of that girl's heart at one time. They used to do it just in stages. They did the whole thing at one time. She survived. In fact, she's 19 years old. I talked to her dad last night and said I'd like to use her as an illustration. And she has pacemaker and some other things, but God through the doctors, corrected that girl's heart. Can I tell you, here's what we need to do, and I didn't even get to the application. We need to check our heart and make sure we keep a right heart. Here's what I pray often, and here's the invitation. This is it. I pray often, Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. See, our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We have to check our heart to make sure that what we're doing on the outside is the same thing of what we're doing on the inside, or what we're doing on the inside is the same thing we're doing on the outside. We should not fall in love with the blessings of God more than the God of the blessings. We need to ask God to create in us a clean heart. It's Christmas time. What do you want from God this Christmas? How about a clean heart? How about a right heart? So many verses in Scripture. Father, we pray that you bless what we said tonight. Lord, I pray. I thank you for the opportunity to preach. But Lord, I just ask that you would help us, help me have the right heart. Lord, I don't want to just read the Bible. I want to know it and live it. Lord, I need to have the right heart to do that. I pray that you'd bless now. The invitation, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask this. Is there anyone here that would say, Brother Bragg, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I think I'm good, but not sure. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Just lift your hand up, right back down. I'll see you. All right, I'm going to pray and say amen. When I say amen, if you want to come forward, use the altar, you can. Or do business with God there. Maybe you don't, but whatever God does with you, would you obey him? Father, I pray that you bless the invitation. Use it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Stand, please. Piano's playing. You come.